Okay, first of all, welcome everybody. My name is Ellie Weinstein. This is my home, apartment 21, Rehov Dudivani Street. And this is the Tzedikim series, Rebbe Rebbe. It started out as the Yahrzeit series, and then we decided that's not such a positive and exciting name. And changed it to Rebbe Rebbe last year. So there is a tragic misconception that most of us have, and that when we're choosing yeshivas, we're choosing a place to live, we're choosing anything, we say, okay, who are the rebbeim there? Let me think, let me look into it. Are the rebbeim in this yeshiva good for me, the rebbeim of that one? And is the rabbi of my community good enough for me or not? But what we make a mistake about, and we forget to look, is that we have 2,000 years of rebbeim. And if we know how to connect properly, then it doesn't matter where we are. You can have a Rebbe from 1,000 years ago. Your Rebbe could be a Baye, it could be Rava, it could be the Maharal, it could be the Ramchal. It depends on how much you are able to connect. And if you can, then you have 2,000 years of Rebbes. So you're unlimited. We have the greatest treasure. And the truth is, and this was what we discussed last year, the first week, I think only 3 people came. That's because nobody knew. I don't think you were there. Get out of here. Yeah? Okay, Tver Shlomo.
I'm a little offended, but it's okay.
So we read an idea from the Tver Shlomo that as tzaddikim leave the world, their heads are turning back like this. Like they're looking back because they're leaving the world, but they're still looking back for us. They're waiting for us. So all the people we ever speak about, they're always waiting for us. And that's why we're here. So last year we had the Schuss, and this is our lineup over here from last year. We went through the Klosenberger Rebbe, learned about him and his faith through the Holocaust. We discussed Tver Shlomo, what he was like as a Baal Tefillah. We led the Chever through Tefillah of Cook, everything he did, the worlds that he put together. And then Bar Tzadik, amazing life. The royalty of the Rishoner. We learned about the meditation, the depth of the Piyazetzner Rebbe. That was when we did the meditation exercise. And we learned about the Alter Rebbe, the first Rebbe of Chabad, the depth in his life. And we had this wacky week where we learned about Rav Froman. There was a little Purim dick in here, really nuts. And one of the cooler ones also, we learned about Rav Shach. He's a Fabrenta, yeah, fiery man. And if you recall, we took off our shoes, stepped into his shoes. And that's what we have to do sometimes. Not always, but sometimes. So tonight, we're going to keep our shoes on. Dafka. With the mud. With the dirt. I want to begin with the story. Oh, one more thing to know. I said this is not a history lecture. It's not a history lecture. If you came to get notes about the rabbis from the past, then I'll sign you up for some podcasts on Spotify and Apple. We're here to get Rebbes. We're here to find Rebbeim. We're here to connect. That's our goal. So, I hope you're going to take something out of it. So at the end, we'll sing a niggun, which has become more exciting than the stuff itself. But the four words of the niggun is mazel merely. What does it mean to me? And when we sing that, I want you to think about what we discussed and what you want to take in. I'll tell you a story. There was many years ago, a man was created. And he was a man who was created mamish from Hashem. And so it was very clear to him that there was a creator and he was the created. And, he had a job in the world and he was supposed to do his job. And as time went on, life happened. And he began to think of himself not as the created, but as the creator. And slowly, slowly he forgot what the truth was in life. And he became more and more distant, and he saw himself as the leader of the world, and everything about what had happened in his life had been forgotten. And there was one victim of what was going on. Not only was the tragedy of the forgotten creator, but himself. Deep inside, somewhere deep inside. When you have a creator, so you're connected to it, and you're connected to Hashem, your strength is infinite. Right? Ellie Weinstein, what can I accomplish? I'm a human being, very basic things. But only one thing is connected to Hashem. I can accomplish anything in the world. So this man, when he separated from the Creator, he himself became the Creator. He became nothing. And inside the whole time, his neshama was crying, was begging, it was being dragged through the tumah, the dirt, that this man was bringing it through. And she was crying, but he was so obsessed with his own life, his own words, he couldn't even hear anything else but himself. And time went on. And one day, this man who had forgotten everything about where he came from, everything about the truth, was walking in a field. And he recognized the area, but he'd never been there before. And all of a sudden, he ran into a person. A short man with a red beard. Scraggly face. And he seemed like he recognized the man, but he knew he'd never seen him before. And he began to stare at this person. This sagely man. And the sage stared back at him, and they're staring at each other for a few minutes, just looking at each other. And then he notices the sage begins, looks like he's about to speak. He's not sure if he's about to cry or he's about to laugh. He can't tell, but something weird is going on. And that also happens for a few minutes. Is he about to cry or is he about to laugh? And this man's eyes are still staring at him. Until the man begins to open his mouth. And he says one sentence. A sentence which shattered this man's life. The sage opens his mouth and says a sentence truer than this man had heard his entire life. It was the truth of the truth. And it broke him, it broke his world. And he opened his mouth. And he said to him, Gam Sham Nimsa Hashem Yisbarach. Hashem is there also. And the man fainted. And ever since then, all we've been doing is trying to get back up. In 1772, in Mezhevish, a man named Nachman was born. He was born to a woman named Fega. Fega was the daughter of Adel, who was the daughter of Rav Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. Which means the Baal Shem Tov had a daughter who had a daughter who had a son, who was Rav Nachman in Breslov. Which means he was the great-grandchild of the Baal Shem Tov. He grew up in the Baal Shem Tov's house. Baal Shem Tov was already dead for 12 years. But Rav Nachman grew up in his house. I have the schus of being in that place where Rav Nachman grew up. And they did not rebuild it. There's like a square in Mezhevish where it says like, this is where Rav Nachman was born and the Baal Shem Tov's house was. So what do you do if you go to that place? What would you do if you were there?
Daven.
You could daven.
Spread it.
Light some candles.
I just lied on the floor because Rav Nachman was a baby there. He lied on the floor. So I started lying on the floor in the dirt.
Obviously.
That was in that place. So he's growing up there in 1772. So his mother was the granddaughter of the Baal Shem Tov. So if anybody has a great grandparent, that was like the Baal Shem Tov for Rabbi Nachman, if you want to connect to that. His father, his name was Simcha. His father's name was Nachman. That's who he was named after. Nachman of Horodank was buried in Tveria. And he was the seventh generation from the Maharal of Prague. So Nachman comes from the Maharal, comes to Baal Shem Tov very intensely, very strong. And he grows up in Mezhevish. And Nachman was an exceptional child. You know, from a young age. He wasn't like, you know, when we spoke about Reb Tzadok like made a bracha when he was nursing from his mother. You know, like crazy stuff you can't imagine. Reb Nachman wasn't born like that. But he was born with this crazy desire to become a tzadok. From the youngest age, 4 years old, Reb Nachman was trying to... He was so determined to become a tzaddik that he says when he was younger, all the time, he was just crying and crying. He was learning, crying, tears, everything, just davening to Hashem. Please, I want to understand this. Please, I want to know it better. And he said, people think I'm great because of my Alta Zeta is the Baal Shem. No, it's because of those tears that I cried when I was younger. Crying all the time. Like Leah in Ayra Kos, right? She was always crying. And he would do the funniest things. You know, when he was about 4 years old also, he would go into a boat and go to the river. And he was 4 years old. He didn't know how to row a boat. So what's he doing? He would get in a boat, and it's in the reeds, and it's in the water. And he'd be like, shoot, I don't know how to do anything. He'd cry out to Hashem, like, Hashem, like, I can't row a boat. I got here. I need your help. He would go into the boat so that he could feel totally dependent on Hashem. Just to practice what real emunah is like. That's what he would do. There's one point in his life where he started swallowing his food because he didn't want to taste the food itself. wanted to break his taivas achila. I mean, I'm speaking, I'm the guy, you know, I love crave, you know, I'm speaking like that. But Nachman, he would scratch his throat swallowing food whole. So he wouldn't taste it because he wanted to destroy his taivas achila. So he didn't come from nothing, but he worked. He would often go to the kever of his great grandfather and just cry in the kever of Baal Shem Tov, begging, please, help me be great. Mamish, always begging at the kever of the Baal Shem. And also what was cool is that because of Nachman lived in Mezhebezh where the Baal Shem Tov was, so any tzaddik that was going to come to visit the Baal Shem Tov's kever was staying by his house. So growing up, he had the opportunity to meet tons and tons of tzaddikim, and they would tell stories, and he said that was very formative in his life. So the more and more you speak about tzaddikim, it's a gamkein semash. So when Reb Nachman was 13 years old, which no one here is 13, right? 18, 19? 21? Just kidding. Yeah. My young chavrusa, how old are we? 22. 23. Nachman was 13 when he got married. 13. Wasn't so crazy in those times. But, so again, at least 18 maybe, you know, something. If you go to the right summer camp this summer, you know? So, 13 years old, he's at his wedding. From the chuppah, everyone dances, you know, with the kala yichud room. But Nachman takes a couple young guys around him, runs to the field, runs out with a couple guys, just leaves his own wedding. Takes a bunch of chavrim, and starts talking about dveikus and the tachlis of life and avodas Hashem. And that's when he picks up his first talmud, Reb Shimon, who is older than him. He's a few years older than him, but he finds this guy, he's a 13-year-old kid who's like on fire with dveikus. Starts following him. That was when he got his first talmud. And that's already the year 1785, 13 years in. Okay, from then on, Reb Nachman spends the next 17 years, 18 years growing slowly. Like we said, he finds a room. For Reb Nachman, it's a big, important idea to have a place where you serve Hashem. A corner, a room, an attic. He learned many years in an attic. You need your makom. You need your place. That's in Yuchad for me to serve Hashem. That's where he was. And Reb Nachman grows and he grows and he grows and he's getting a couple more talmidim, etc. And in 1798, it was a big trip. He went to Eretz Yisrael. And for him, we can't understand. Reb Nachman went on trips everywhere. He came to Eretz Yisrael, puts 2 feet on the ground, says, okay, that's enough for me, and leaves. Just kidding, he didn't leave. He said, I'm okay to leave now. He ends up staying. They convince him to stay a little bit, because like, why would you leave after 2 minutes? Like, so they convince him to stay a little bit. They begged him to stay. Spends months trying to get there. Like, most of Nefesh almost dies a couple times in the way. Like, but that was enough, because he knew the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. But fascinating, just like we spoke about Rav Kook, almost every single Torah Reb Nachman shared was in the 10 years, 12 years after he came to Eretz Yisrael. Right? He lived 38 years only. Only 38 years. But only the last 12 years of his life is what we have almost any writings from. Because the Torah and his Talmud, Reb Nachman writes this, the Torah from before when he came to Eretz Yisrael was nothing compared to what it was like after he stepped foot on Eretz Yisrael. And here we are, Eretz Yisrael learning. Avodas Hashem came. It's like you can't even, Rav Kook, you look at Rav Kook's writings from before Eretz Yisrael, like you can chop, like when he got to Eretz Yisrael, or like crazy. Same Nakuda, different game. Almost all of the Kutim Moran given after you entered Yisrael. And then, okay, fine. So now we have, you just have to remember the year. 1772 he was born. So now he's, 28 years later, how old is he? That's a good question, right? 28, good. 20 years later, what year are we in? 1800, yeah. Right? The turn of the century. What's 2 years later? 1802 is really where it all began. And he dies in 1810. Which means that where it all began lasted for 8 years. Everything we know was 8 years, basically. 1802, he moves to Breslov. Moves to Breslov. And on that day when he moves to Breslov, he exclaims loudly, we're conquering Breslov with clapping and dancing. And he says that the chassidim that joined him, we conquered Breslov. And what happened in Breslov that was such a big deal? He met Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman was a Talmud, could have been one of the Gedolei Hador, but said he found his true Rebbe. Maybe we'll talk about another week. He found his true Rebbe. He attached himself to Reb Nachman. Nemirov was close. I have a bottle of vodka from Nemirov in that cabinet. Big producers of vodka in 2020. Probably then also. Nemirov. That's what it's famous for now. I mean, had they known that Rasmussen was from there, that's why it would be famous. But now it's for vodka. That's Ukraine in 2020. It's vodka. And, okay. Here's Rasmussen. Lives for only 8 more years. 1807, 5 years later, he finds out that he has tuberculosis. Tuberculosis is a horrible disease, and it destroyed Rasmussen. You know, he only lives for 3 years with it. But imagine this. Imagine you guys are all, imagine we're all at a shir together. And the Magid shir is sitting there, and everyone has come. He gives shir 3 times a year. Hundreds of people pack into a tight room. And the Rebbe's up there, and he's looking pretty skinny and frail. Skinny and frail is always pretty skinny. And he's trying to speak. And he gets out a couple words, and then you see him coughing up blood. And a few more words, and he's coughing up blood. And this is what happened close to the end of his life, the last 3 years of his life. He was giving shir. And it would take him sometimes 2 hours just to start speaking. Because how much the blood he was coughing up, just trying to get his words in, his moser nefesh. Because he understood that the Torahs that he had to share were worth it. That was what he was doing. And that was what it was like. Serious nefesh. And just to finish the timeline, 3 years later, the town of Breslov literally caught fire. Like, it was always on fire, and it's still pretty much on fire if you go there. I was zocher to be there a couple years ago, and there's a river next to it, and the whole river was frozen from the kever, the Baal Shem Tov, and Mezhmez all the way to Breslov. In Breslov, it's flowing, not frozen. And then 50 meters after, it's frozen again. I saw it with my own eyes, and a picture I'll show you after. Because Breslov, Be'er Esh. But that day in 1810, Erev Shavuos, it actually caught fire. Half the village burned down, including Nachman's house. And he said, okay, let's go, we're going to Uman. Everyone knows that's Nachman's last name. Nachman Uman. And why did he go to Uman? To die. You know, he passed Uman years before, and he said, this would be a good place to die. Which is a bit of a strange thing to understand for us, but he, there was a kvarim of tens of thousands of Jews that were killed at Kiddush Hashem in the previous century. And he had come to Metakin there, you know, them, when he would die, so he wanted to die there specifically. That's why he's in Uman. Now, there's some mystery with Nachman. He, everything about him was, on the one hand, unbelievable, and you can, like, enjoy, appreciate the Torah. On the other hand, it was total mystery. And he had a couple books with Nachman, right? There were 2 books that Nachman wrote. One was called the Sefer HaGonuz, which means hidden. The hidden Sefer. One was called the Sefer HaNisraf. Burnt. And he burnt both of them. He wrote 2 Sfarim, locked away in his chest, and at certain points in his life, he said, okay, I can't reveal these. He burned them. He burned his own writings. And so those were 2 of his Sfarim. Another Sefer Oni, his younger Sefer Midos, and then there's more or less known the Sipur Maaseos, which is a book of stories. Which, there's not many Jews in the world that have ever written a book of stories, which is including the deepest secrets of Kabbalah. And then comes this. Now, I'll tell you, if I would have been here last year talking about Reb Nachman, which I wanted to, but Corona, I wouldn't have anything to say. I would have like looked a couple stuff up, spoken a shtickle. But I had this chus the past 8 months because of Corona to begin learning the Kutumora from the beginning. Under my belt, I have 20 Torahs of 411, and I promise you, I've never seen anything like it in my life. This sefer is the most Peladic Sefer in the world. It's unbelievable. Every single time I finish a Torah, like, my wife's already laughing at me every single time I learn anything, because I'm like, you have, like, every time, I was like, I can't believe this is real. It's a remarkable, and each one is a Torah Shlema. And there's levels of understanding that I can get, there's levels of understanding that Tzaddik can get, there's levels of understanding that no one gets. And to say that it's Pli Mamish, and Reb Nachman gave us 411 of them. And that's the Kutim Urana. And it's the godless of it is not just the ideas are crazy. But what does the Kutim Urana mean? What is the Kutim? Do you know? Pieces. And what's Moharan? Morin Harav Nachman. So most people chop, it's like, oh, pieces, like Torahs, like that they put together from Rabbi Nachman, whatever. But the Emes is that it's pieces of him. He hid himself in his book. So much so that I began a new minhag, to begin calling the Sefer Rabbi Nachman. Like, yo, can you pass me Rabbi Nachman? Like, that's... He hid himself in the book. And there's few Rebbeim that gave themselves to history in a book like this. And that's the Kutim Urana. It's a pellet. So now we gave you the background of his life. Everything Reb Nachman said, everything that he was saying was just Hagdama. Everything that I'm saying is just Hagdama. We're just getting started. This is like, it's the beginning, whatever. It's always the beginning. And, okay, so what we always like to do in the Rebbe Rebbe Shir, we give a bit of a biography, and then we teach a Torah from the Tzaddik who we're learning from. So what does Reb Nachman want from us? I told you it's 411 Torah Shlemas. And this is the Kutimran, all the things that he says in Sichas Haran, all the stories are deep, etc. So what does he want from us? So I could have spent the whole night talking about his bodhis. Reb Nachman changed the world by teaching you this way. You have to speak to Hashem in your own words, and just you and Hashem, and go out and speak. It's not tefillah. It's not davening in shul. It's rigid and formal, and it's supposed to be a certain way. But no, just go in your own words and say anything you want in your own language. Could have talked about that. You could say Nachman's all about simcha. Mitzvah gedolah is b'simcha tamid. The nanachs, everybody's dancing, clapping, everything. It's all about simcha. Mitzvah gedolah is b'simcha tamid. Says it all the time. Could have mentioned that. Could have talked about ishtogikus. Ishtogikus means to yearn. Nachman, it's one of his biggest pillars, is about yearning for Hashem, reaching out. Like I told you when he was younger, he's always yearning and crying to be closer. It could be about looking for the nekudos tovos and everything, looking for the good in life. That's what he said was his main nekuda. Looking for the good in everything you look at, every person you look at. Find the good. Could have talked about what we from that maisa. Gam sham nimtza Hashem yizbarach. No matter how low you fall, no matter how many sins you commit, no matter where you are in the world, that prostitute, she's also an expression of Hashem. Nachman said that too. That's why he's never too far. That's why Ein Shem Yesh Bo'olam Klal. No matter where you are, the lowest place in the world is made up of Elokus. And if you realize that, no matter where you are in the world, you're already there. If you just recognize that the sin I'm about to commit, I'm only enjoying it because Hashem is giving me this feeling, then you realize that you're with Hashem everywhere. And there's no Yesh ever. There's nothing that's too disastrous because Hashem is the disaster himself. We talked about that. Could have talked about Tikkun Klali, and Nachman fixed it. Or you could speak of the fact that Nachman's for everybody. He would say, they have a joke, they say that if you're holding the Sfarim, that the Sefer Noam Alimelech is a Sefer of Tzaddikim. And the Tanya, anybody in Binyamin's Shir? Okay, so I'll tell them. Sefer Tanya is a Sefer Shabbeinun, and that's what it's called. And the Kutim Aran? Sefer Shalashan. The Kutim Aran is for a field of pachos shivapchus and kal shivakalim. You go to Uman, you're not going to find the greatest tzaddikim in the world. You're going to find mamash, the lowest. Lowest and the highest. It's a crazy place. It's not like you go there and it's like you're in Disneyland. It's a crazy place. Because Reb Nachman's for everybody. The greatest tzaddikim can find the most unbelievable ideas and the most evil eitzah. The Sefer's filled with eitzahs, how to get close to Hashem. Zehu. How to get close to Hashem. So no matter where you are, you have to get close to Hashem. And Hashem's in Shas, and Hashem's in Ukraine. He's everywhere. Doesn't mean you should go to Ukraine for that, I'm just saying. It means that every person has a way of connecting, and this is the derech. So, I could have spoken about all those things, but I want to show you one thing that I think, because, you know, I was thinking about this for weeks. Here, hand this around if anybody can get. How would I put it back when I couldn't do it. I couldn't give this year for weeks. Rafi Nemed, I will say this. B'schus Rafi Nemed, we're here tonight. He harassed me. Harassed me, and I let him down week after week. It wasn't just Rafi, but he was the most annoying about it. And I was afraid. Honestly, I was afraid because I had no answer. Well, first of all, how can I speak to Rabbi now? Number two, how much do I know? And number three, everything that I know, there's a million things to speak about. So what am I supposed to even say? I was speaking with my Rebbe, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to give a thing. But Nachman did it, he laughed at me. He's like, Shkoyach, where are you going to start? So, whatever. At this point, on January 3rd, 2020, I think this is one of the main Ikra of Nachman. Look at this. What? 2021, thank you. 2021. I actually deserve that. I corrected over Kevin this morning. Because he said it was 2022. And I'm like, Rebbe, it's 2021. He's like, Roes Anola, you have to look till next year. He told me. He's like, you so quick to correct the Rebbe. Anyways, there's a sefer Reb Nosson wrote when he just followed around Rabbi Nachman and just wrote down the things that happened and things that he said, called Chaim Aran. And this is what Reb Nachman said. Omar, is that awesome line? Shalatid in the future, Yihye kol ha'olam anshei Breslev. Everybody will become Breslev. V'lashon Ashkenaz amar b'zu alashon les lavo v'digansa veld zayn breslev chesidim. Or some people translate as basof akol yu breslev, like at the end of the time everyone's gonna be breslev. The isa b'medrash al pasuk v'nasati lachem leiv basar. Pasuk says in Yechezkel Hashem's gonna give you a flesh heart. Al tikri basar ela boser. You know that boser means glad, says the medrash. Don't read it. Basar, a flesh heart, read it. A glad heart, a happy heart. She you call echad boser b'chilek shel chaver. This is the medrash. Leiv boser osios breslev. Everyone's gonna be happy for his friend, and leiv boser is osios breslev. The same letters. One more paragraph, and then we'll explain a drop, and that'll be it. Gam kshatz mizlata pola the breslev cholam lo magim itarvitz. One of Nachman's talmidim, one of the later students. He once left the city called Zlatopola, which in Ukrainian means the city of gold. And he was going on his way to Breslev. And Reb Nachman came to him in a dream. Right? In Yitzhiyasush. And Reb Nachman explained to him what his journey, Reb Nachman also went from Zlatopola to Breslev. And here we go. Cholam lo magim itarvitzia besuko inyin Yitzhiyasush arabinu zuchon levrachim Zlatopola to Breslev. Merumas bepasa kanal vahasirosi leiv ha'evim yibsarachem. He said, leaving from Zlatopola to Breslev is like removing the stone heart from your body. Leiv ha'evin hu b'chinas v'itin shlomo z'kesef kavanim. It's like a silver love of money. Kishem here's Zlatopola Hashem ribo ha'kesef ha'mamon. I told you it was called that because it was like a city of gold. V'nasati lachem leiv basar osios Breslev. What does it mean to be a student of Reb Nachman? What is it? What is Breslev about? Leiv basar. What does leiv basar mean? It means to be leibedik. It means to be mechuzak, to have his chazkas, to be his slavas. Reb Nachman's goal was to electrify our lives. This book is filled with 411 Torahs. Each one is filled with Eitzah. How to electrify a different part of your life. How to make your davening be'em as a connection. How to make your learning so focused, so real. How to change the way that you eat. How to change the way that you sleep. How to change the way you talk to your friends. How to change to speak to your wife. How to change the way you go on a tiyul. How the way you look at a field. The way you look at a rock. Electrified. Everything to be electrified. To have basar. To have leiv basar. The flesh. Living. Breathing. Not to live a life of stam. Of a stone. Of a domain. Where nothing's doing. Sometimes we look at different parts of our Avodas Hashem. And I'm saying this is domain. How's my tefillin experience? It's domain. It's dead. I put it on every day. Zeh hakol. It's as dead as the cow is skinned from. You have to bring it to life. You give it leiv basar. You see your friend in the street. What's it like when I talk to my friends? What am I talking about over lunch? Right? Am I so excited about the NBA is back? Is it worth it? Is it so great? It ended 5 minutes ago. It's already back. Like, shkayach. Like, you need a break. Right? Football, okay. No one got corona this week. Shkayach. Like, you know, like. No, how do you give a leiv basar to lunch? I'm eating a piece of schnitzel. How do I give leiv basar to this piece of schnitzel? The way that they describe it, the breast livers would eat, I'll show you like this. Watch this. This is how they describe it. Every sip is gevah. I have a cup of tea. I'm drinking tea in Eretz Yisrael. Hang with a chevra. With the breast livers, I heard a dibor once. That two breastlers are supposed to speak, there should be a third one they're writing down what they're saying. That's how uplifted the conversation should be. It's not stam, it's leiv basar. If a breastler learning the base medrash, he doesn't look like he's just okay, I'm sitting back with like whatever, like this, because I put my yarmulke over here, I got a new one. Leiv basar. Leivadig, it's chaska, it's alive. To be fully alive, to be an ish chai be'emes. What does that look like? And do we want to be there? And all he asks, you know, Nachman said one thing. First of all, I'll say one thing. If you look around, the coolest people in the world are Breslov. I'm saying it's how it works out. I'm just saying. There's jesters, there's jugglers, amazing musicians, and this. Because Nachman wasn't about changing you to make you somebody else. It's about electrifying your life. Electrifying your life. And your life. He didn't want anybody else. He wanted you. And that's why so many people are attracted to it from all walks of life, because he doesn't want to make you somebody else. There's people that want to make you someone else. He wants you to be you, but be you on fire. Electrified. And that's why Reb Nachman said, He said, he saw a bunch of chassidim years ago. And he looked a little bit worried. And he goes to me and he says, why are you so worried? All you got to do is give me the bricks and the mortar, and I'll make you a magnificent building. He wants, if you're all in, and you follow his path, says a poel, it's life. To be an ish chai be'emes, to be an ish asher ruach ba. And that, I think, was the Iker teaching of Rav Nachman. To be an ish chai be'emes. And all you gotta do is jump on his back, and he'll teach you how to fly. Yaakov Noach.
Thank you.
in so much trouble.
Can we get married?